I always look forward to their to these calls, Kent. You do the work. I love our calls. Anything you'd like to discuss before I get started?
No, and I feel the same way. I enjoy these calls. I'm sad this morning because I'm looking at we've only got two more calls, so I'm panicking a little bit. I did get your email on Saturday. You sent on Saturday. I didn't get it until this morning, however, but nonetheless, I have not been diligent in finishing up that homework, and there's no real excuse. I could give you a bunch of excuses, but there's no real excuse for it. But I do have it in front of me. I've been thinking about it. So anyway, I don't have anything today, again, other than to just say, you know, thank you for your help with putting out the fire with the Filipino couple. Since that time, my manager and I took them to lunch, and it couldn't have gone any better if I had scripted it myself. So I don't think for a minute that the storm is over, that they won't come back and, you know, be as jerky as they have in the past. But at the moment, it's pretty good. But the biggest thing is you've probably given me confidence in how to handle those types of situations going forward. So for that, I do thank you.
Well, it would have been a lot harder, Kent, if you were doing 350. They would have been a lot bigger part of your practice. And as I shared with you, as Rob Knapp shared with me, you can't negotiate until you're prepared to walk away. And my guess is, Kent, they will be back. The meeting with your manager, do you think they learned anything from your manager, or they just felt a little more important?
Yeah, I would say that's an interesting question. I would say that maybe they felt a little bit more important, but maybe they just felt a little bit more connected. Because I had, when I went into the meeting, I had two goals in mind. One, I was going to ask them, I've got my manager sitting here. What more can we do for you at UBS to make your experience better? That was my first question. And then my second question, I was going to turn to them and say, Jose and Ophelia, just tell Chuck your story. What's your story? I got to the first question, and of course, I already knew what the answer was going to be, and you probably did too. I said, what more can we be doing for you? You're important clients to us. How can we make your experience better? And he popped. He had his answer ready. He didn't even have to think about it, and his answer was, "Make me more money." So that's very consistent with the attitude of these people. They just asked Chuck, they mentioned that they have a son that lives in Philadelphia. So Chuck says, well, I grew up, just 5 miles from there. Well, where did you grow up? That started an entire conversation about where he grew up, which high school he went to, their knowledge of Philadelphia, his knowledge of Philadelphia. And then he said, well, you said you had a second son. Where does he live? Oh, well, he's the head of anesthesiology in Boise, Idaho. Chuck says, well, I lived for 7 years in Boise, Idaho, what hospital? And so I never said a word throughout the remainder of the lunch.
I think you've probably identified it, that it is they feel more connected. Now, you did this because you wanted to strengthen the relationship and hold on to that account within the parameters you're willing to keep that account.
Correct.
I would ask you to think about other clients that you have and setting up lunches. It sounds like your manager meets people well, does a good job. You have confidence in him. Is that correct?
Yes, and he and I have already had that discussion. It went so well that that's what he's told me to do. He says, I want you to sit down and make a list of other clients. And let's do this again because it was very profitable. I will say at one point, he sang my praises. He said, I deal with 100 financial advisors intimately, and Kent is at the very top of that list. You're fortunate to have him. And the wife, Ophelia, said, she said, we work with him because we trust him.
Yeah. Well, that's all good. It's all good, Kent. It's kind of like I've been married for 46 years. When we have disagreements, we always come out stronger on the other side. And I think it's the same with what you just went through. I'm glad you went through it. You didn't like it when it was happening, but you come through it a better FA. So,
agreed.
God brings things into our lives not to bring us down, but to make us stronger.
Yeah.
And that's what's happened here. So I would, who made this appointment? Your manager or you?
I made the appointment. It was my original idea, and I made the appointment.
It's a great idea, and I would take him up on it. I'd try to do one a month. There was a Morgan Stanley FA who was going through Supernova. Good FA, doing over $1 million. Does a lot of planning. Got a good team. Everything good. And he rolled out Supernova to these people, to this $5 million relationship. And their response was, well, if you can deliver that, we will not move our account. They were getting ready to move a $5 million relationship. My point in telling
you... He already had the relationship?
He had the relationship.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm with you now. Go ahead.
I didn't explain it fully. And when he rolled it out, Supernova, he stopped they said they wouldn't transfer if he could deliver it. So my point is, don't just look for clients that you think may be a little bit unhappy or whatever. I just start with the folks you really enjoy being with, and you never know when you solidify a relationship what that really means. It's kind of like when you're in a car wreck, you say, "Gosh, if I'd been a second earlier or a second later, I'd have missed it." Well, you don't know
right.
how many of those were in your life, and you did miss it by a second. So
right.
I would take your manager up on this. It gets you closer to the manager. He gets opportunities to refer from time to time. He'll be thinking of you. I think it's a great idea. Great idea. All right. But I'm glad it happened. Your goals for the second phase of Supernova, acquisition and working with CPAs. I want to focus on those two areas today. And my purpose, my intention was to get started with the homework. So I'm going to walk through this homework, and then what I want you to do is to go through it. Do this homework between now and when we meet next time.
Okay.
And again, do it specifically. Take your top 20 and answer this question for these seven questions for each one of them. So what happened the last time I did this with an FA? It just a lot of business popped up, a lot of opportunity popped up because you get busy sometimes and you get too close to it. So let's do this. Let's walk through this with two clients just to get a sense for what I'm trying to get accomplished here. So get one client in mind. Tell me what the client's name is. First name.
Barbara.
Okay. Now let's go through this. Barbara, how did she come into your practice?
She was the property manager when I was over at Morgan Stanley.
Yeah.
She was a very proactive, hands-on property manager. And so she would come through the office maybe once a week just to see how things are going. And we just struck up a conversation, seemed to have some sort of a connection there. And then she came to me one day and said, "I have some money. I'd like to sit down and talk to you about managing the money." So that's how it started.
Okay, you've told me about her before. She's a really good relationship. Client longevity. How long has she been with you?
About 15 years.
What's the status of her planning?
We have done a financial plan for her, and it is currently being implemented. One of the things that she does not have is she does not have a trust. She's just taken a long time settling on a trust attorney. And so every month, as part of my agenda for our Supanova call, I always visit that with her, and she's very grateful because it's something she knows she has to do. So we have done a plan. It's being implemented, and one of the big parts is her getting a trust done.
Okay, and is she still looking for a trust attorney?
She thinks she's settled on one now.
All right. Were you not able to help her with one?
I offered to, and she graciously accepted the she graciously appreciated the offer, but she informed me I have a couple of people that have been referred to me by some of my friends, and I will check with them. If those don't pan out, then I'd like your names.
Okay. All right. And you never know, being a property manager, she may have a business reason to want to do business with.
Possibly.
With somebody. All right. So the plan's being implemented. Now, remember that differentiating question. You're sitting in front of a prospective client, and you start talking about your service model, 1242, rapid response, and multi-generational fully implemented planning, and they say, Kent, I've already done that. I've already done planning. Your response, I'm glad you've done that. Let me ask you a couple questions. And those two questions are, has it been fully implemented? And the other is, how often is it revisited? Now, you don't feel good asking those questions if you aren't doing those things in your own practice. But it's a differentiator. You know what planning looks like. You've seen it evolve in this business. It was a lot of people have a plan. The FA goes through it, gathers a little business, and then it disappears. And that's not done to be inefficient or unprofessional. It's just what happens. So with Barbara, you've got a plan that is in the process of being implemented. You're going to hold her accountable, right?
Yes.
All right. That is so important. The town where I live, Franklin, Tennessee, is exploding. It's near Nashville. It's a nice town, blah, blah, blah. My daughter lives on a street downtown Franklin where property values are exploding. The lady across the street has three really ordinary houses that she's asking $1.2 million for the three houses. That may not sound like big bucks in Las Vegas, but the houses you would not probably live in. They're selling for land value.
Got it.
Guess what? She died yesterday. The property's up for sale. Now, who knows what's going to happen? So hopefully somebody has her with an up-to-date will. They know who so the money goes where she wants it to go. So there are folks out there, Kent, for whom this may be the best thing you ever do for them is make sure that their plan is implemented. This is a huge part of your brand. So, Barbara, I'm giving you an A right there. Let's go to number four. Are you her only advisor?
I strongly believe I am.
All right. And what keeps you from knowing that you are?
Because I've never asked her.
Okay. Well, again, I don't think that's a separate phone call, but it's never – I think for you to do your very best job, it'd be nice to know if she has money away. Yeah, Ken, I've got $150,000 in CDs paying nothing or whatever. It just helps you know the client a little better. All right. What is the status?
Back up for a second. Back up for just a second there, because she does have money in CDs. And so when you ask if I'm her only advisor, how does money or CD money at a bank fall into that category? I mean, I'm thinking that you have another financial advisor other than your bank.
You're clarifying the question. The question is there money away?
Okay.
That's the real question, and what the opportunity is what the opportunity is there.
Okay.
Got it?
That's a good clarification. I'm glad I asked you that.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked me that, too. I'm going to change this sheet. Okay, what's the status of her will?
She doesn't have a will.
Is she married?
No, divorced.
Okay. If she died today, would the money go where she wants it to go?
That's a good question.
See, it is. And I think I've told you the story before. My son went through an awful divorce in California. And a year later, his ex-wife was still the beneficiary of his IRA.
Mm.
So, you know, that's not where he wanted the money to go. So,
right.
There's if she doesn't have a will, then the state of Nevada gets to choose where her money goes.
Right.
What's that called, dying intestate? So that's a good conversation to have with her. If she, I mean, she's already found an estate planning attorney. I think it's a good conversation to have with Barbara. Barbara, I know you don't have a will. How old is Barbara?
Barbara, I think, is 65, 66 years old.
Yeah. I just wanted to have the conversation with you. If you don't have a will, the money goes where the state of Nevada says it goes. I know you've been working with this trust attorney. Is there anything I can do to help you get that process started?
Okay.
Part of your brand. All right. How would she describe you to a friend? And you see the choices there.
I believe that she would refer to me as a financial advisor.
Okay. From what you told me, I think that's how she would describe you also. And now let's get down to number seven.
The last time she gave me a referral was about a year and a half ago, and it was an interesting referral because the lady to whom she referred me, she does not know. Her secretary came to her and said, I have a friend who needs someone. Do you know of someone? And so she gave them my name, and so the lady did come to me, and she did open an account.
Did it meet your minimum?
Oh yeah, it's over a $500,000 account. So yeah, it met my minimum of $250,000.
Okay, so I would bet somebody who's a property manager would know a lot of people. Would that be your guess?
Yeah, she does. She knows a ton of people.
Okay, so how would you start? Here's a lady. Been with you for 15 years. You know what that tells me? She knows you. She likes you. She trusts you. Just like the Filipino doctors you told me about a little earlier. They're with you because they trust you. So what is? How would you? The reason she hasn't given you any more referrals. Part of that may be you haven't asked. Fair?
Fair.
Okay. How would you start a referral conversation with Barbara? And this is, you didn't have time to prepare for this, but let's think about it. How would you start that, Kent?
Well, based on what I've been taught by you, you know, I guess I would start it by maybe taking her to lunch, which I've done a couple of times in the last couple of years, and say, Barbara, I really value our relationship. I think we communicate well. I think there's a level of trust there, and I think I've done a good job for you. And I really just enjoy working with people like you, Barbara. And if you were me, with some of the people that you know, if I could find more people like Barbara Barron, what suggestions do you have? How would you go about that?
All right. You're mixing a couple of things there. It all is in the right direction. Asking is the biggest part. It's better to have a really smooth script, but asking is the biggest part of it. So, if you didn't have to worry about how you phrased it, Well, let's do it another way. This lady who was referred, although it came through Barbara's secretary, Barbara gave it to you, correct?
Yeah, Barbara's the one who contacted me and said, here, I'm giving you a referral, so yeah.
Okay, so when somebody gives you a referral, it's always a good practice, Kent, to go back and, I don't want to say do closure, but to close the loop. Barbara, let's say this is when the lady opened the relationship. I just want to thank you for referring so-and-so to me. We've met, and I think it's going to be a really good relationship. Thank you for the referral. It's just like thanking people when they give you a compliment. It's just closing the loop. Barbara, I met with Ms. Jones. We talked, and she's just reluctant to move her money from so-and-so. See, you're closing the loop.
Mm-hmm.
So here's how I would go back to Barbara. Barbara, about a year and a half ago, you referred so-and-so to me. I want to thank you because she has become a very good relationship. Now, you don't go into the size of the account. Give up confidentiality. You know not to do that. She's just become a really good relationship. Thank you for bringing her to me. Do you know anyone else who might appreciate the same type of service that you receive from me? That's the way I would do it. Now, again, everybody has a little. When we first started working with scripts, I said, the very best thing, Kent, is my thoughts in your words. So I don't know if that fits you, but I think it's pretty direct. Well,
mm-hmm.
Kent, I can't think of anybody right now. Well, just know, Barbara, I'm never too busy to help people like you. You see how you plant the seed?
Mm-hmm.
Or another way is she's in a niche. She's in commercial real estate. You remember the thing where you have three reasons you like dealing with somebody? Barbara, I really enjoy our relationship. You follow my advice. You return my calls. You're just pleasant to deal with. You know anybody else in the commercial real estate area that it would be good for me to talk with? So here's somebody who knows you, likes you, trusts you. She thinks of you as a financial advisor. When somebody brought somebody to her secretary who needed help, Barbara's first thought was you. So I think you've got to give Barbara more of an opportunity to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get to that point where, you know, go back to the VIPSA script, remember that's the value given, value received.
Mm-hmm.
You go through there and you say, do you know anyone? I can't think of anybody. Well, do you have a minute to brainstorm? And then if nothing comes up then the way you extricate yourself from that conversation is, Barbara, thanks for thinking about it. Just know I'm never too busy to help people like you. Now, that may not lead to anything right then, but now it's a front-of-mind experience. She's meeting with a friend. I'm making this up. Friend's husband just died, and the lady doesn't know what to do because the husband's always taking care of everything. Barbara, prior to this conversation you might have with her, is going to be empathetic and so on. After the conversation, her conversation with you is going to be at the front of mind. You got it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. So, you know, you got time to do one more?
I've actually got a supernova call at 9:00, and I need just a few minutes to pull my thoughts together on that.
Okay.
So,
well,
Yeah, I've got a few more minutes.
Okay, so we're scheduled till quarter till the hour. Pick somebody like number 10, 11, 12, somebody in the middle of the pack.
Okay, Larry.
Okay. I'm not going to read the questions to you. Number one.
Larry was referred to me by his father.
And was the father an account?
Yeah. Father was an account. Father's now passed on. But yeah, I think I cold called the dad, and then I think his dad introduced him to me.
All right. Number two.
More than 10 years.
Number three.
We have done a financial plan for him, and we've been through it within the past 12 months.
Okay. Anything needs to be implemented?
No.
How did when you delivered that plan, what was Larry's response?
He was thankful for it. It was right in kind of in line with what he thought. I mean, he's pretty well off. He's also a pilot for Southwest Airlines, and they had done a plan for him as well. And so everything seemed to jibe. He wasn't overly enthusiastic. I mean, he was appreciative, but it wasn't like a major revelation or a deep sigh of relief.
Okay. Number four.
The other advisors, Southwest offers financial planning, and the other guys that are there, he's retiring in November, and they're trying to vie to keep the $1 million plus that he has there.
Who is the company?
No, Southwest hires a financial planning firm that offers free services to their pilots.
I got it.
And it's that company.
Okay, and do they do anything special?
Other than providing a plan, I can't see anything special that they do.
All right. Number five.
Yes, up to date.
Okay. Number six.
I think he would probably categorize me as maybe a financial planner, financial advisor.
All right. Number seven.
It's probably been over 3 years since he's given me a referral.
Okay.
No, that's not true. In the last couple of years, he did give me a referral.
Did you follow back up with him? Did that referral amount to anything?
No, it was a fellow pilot. He actually took me into his office, and I introduced myself and gave him, you know, my brochure, and he was very appreciative, very nice guy. And less than six months after I initially met him, he relocated from Las Vegas to Dallas. But I did close the loop with Larry. I said, you know, I went back and I followed up with him, and, you know, he didn't seem overly interested, and then he moved. But I thanked Larry for going to the effort of giving me the referral, one, and then introducing me face-to-face, two.
Okay. This is a big deal. You want to win that. This is not the big deal. I mean, this is obvious. But you want to win this $1 million. Do you know anything about the firm that Southwest has hired?
I don't. I don't know their name. He and I went to lunch 2 weeks ago, and as we were walking, we just walk across the street and go to a place. And he said, I just want to let you know those guys at Southwest really want me to, or that Southwest referred to me, they want me to keep the money there, but he says, I just want to let you know that when I retire, I'm bringing everything over to you.
Okay. Don't take that for granted.
I don't. And when he even said it, it felt good for the moment, but you're right. I'm not taking it for granted.
working with a group down in Dallas from Credit Suisse, and they had this huge account that they brought in just $5 million, a lot bigger account, and they kind of they thought they were really close to him and kind of lost track of him, didn't contact him very often, and he took a big chunk of money to UBS because they lost track of him. They took him for granted. So don't allow that to happen, because if you when you get this money, then you're going to ask if he knows any other pilots who are in the process of retiring. This could be terrific.
Yeah.
So I would I'd do a little Googling. I'd even ask Larry. You mentioned the firm that Southwest has referred you to. Who is that firm? I'd just like to get an idea of what they do.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
No, and he would gladly answer that question.
Yeah, and then you drill down and find out. I mean, they may be really special, or they may be just ordinary guys that that don't offer any kind of service or anything special. So that's really a big deal. I would focus on that, find out who those guys are, and see how you can get that money. They may compete on price. I don't know.
Yeah.
But if they've got other, I'm sure they have other business than Southwest. They're going to have a website. You and I are going to be able to look at that and see how you can stack up very well against that.
Okay,
all right.
Good.
All right. So do the other 18 clients between now and, as you can see, this doesn't take very long.
Right.
Thanks. I mean, look. Would you have thought, if we had had this conversation, to go look up the Southwest, those guys that Southwest wants him to go to?
No.
Okay. That's what we do with this sheet. We find a lot of opportunity. All right?
Okie doke.
All right. Always a pleasure.
The pleasure's mine, Rob. Believe me.
Well, you're nice. We'll talk next month.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.